Good morning, it's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Churches in the Black community historically have been a vital institution, a central force of social change. From Martin Luther King Jr. to the Reverends Fred Shuttlesworth, Richard Boone, Pauli Murray, myriad church leaders helped birth the modern civil rights movements. Fast forward to 2015 in Baltimore. On the day of Freddie Gray's funeral and the night of the unrest, scores of Black clergy walked down North Avenue to quell the unrest. And it raises the question, as the Black Lives Matter movement has grown, a decentralized group of community leaders, activists, authors, journalists, and students using digital tools like Twitter, how has the Black faith community in Baltimore engaged with this growing group? Joining us by phone on his way back to Baltimore from a national Black Lives Matter conference in Cleveland, Ohio, is Jamie Wooten. He works on digital strategies, particularly for faith groups, and is a fellow at Boston University School of Theology's Social Justice Institute. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And with us in the studio is Reverend Todd Urey, senior pastor of Douglas Memorial Community Church. He's also an adjunct professor in the College of Public Affairs at the University of Baltimore and past political action chair for the Maryland State Conference NAACP. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Jamie Wooten, you're fresh from the inaugural Movement for Black Lives Conference. Tell us a bit about it. What is your big takeaway from the experience this weekend?
It was a national convening of about 1,000 organizers, activists, scholars, and clergy. The great takeaway is this growing movement of sort of decentralized leadership, right, as they call leaderful, right? So recognizing all of these various organizers, all of these leaders across the country, and how do we move in a sort of a new way. We're used to sort of a more messianic, more top-down leadership model. Now you see as a decentralization of communications via social media, we're starting to see a decentralized movement as far as organizing. So it was great to see this strong attempt to bring various voices to the table and all of them to have a voice.
Pastor Urey, in the last 2 years since the start of Black Lives Matter, so much focus has been on the work of digital coalitions and groups. How has the work of Black churches and other religious institutions changed since the Freddie Gray experience?
I'm not sure how much it's changed since Freddie Gray. I think it's been an expansion of how we reach out and communicate our willingness to participate, our desire to participate in the multiple conversations that are going on right now about how we heal our city. And so the digital movement for a church that has been very localized and centralized has caused us to expand not only how we think about our message, but who we're reaching out to. These may not necessarily be members in our pews, but these are folks who really have an interest in terms of what does the institution that we've come to know as the Black Church, how is it speaking out and participating in the conversation around social justice in the 21st century?
And what about the point that Jamie Wooten made about this being decentralized, not messianic, not top-down, an echo of Ella Baker, as Jamie Wooten has written, a civil rights leader who was very key in many civil rights movements, but sort of behind the scenes at a time when Martin Luther King Jr. was much more upfront. How does that sit with those of you in the traditional Black church?
Well, when we talk about the traditional church and when we really tell the truth about the civil rights movement, the messianism of Martin Luther King happened after he died. That when he was first pulled into the bus boycott in Montgomery, it was almost by default. No one else wanted to be the quote-unquote leader. He was kind of put into the role to kind of help organize this new kind of approach to dealing with the justice issues of the day. So I'm not sure it's an issue of messianic kind of desire. I think it's often critiqued that way. But when you look at what the church historically does, most of what the church does is behind the scenes and not one where there's some person that wants to be lifted up. The problem with the 21st century is that the media has hyped, I think, an unfair impression of the church as a whole. And there are many churches of various sizes where there's not necessarily this drive, where the leaders of the church, the pastor, because of the structure of the church, is engaged in conversations with a number of groups to see how does the church find its niche, find its fit in the broader conversation about what's going on in the community.
Jamie Wooten, I want to pull you back in here. Your work involves consulting with faith-based groups on strategy, public policy, organizing. How have Black churches been part of the recent digital organizing work taking place in Baltimore?
taking place in Baltimore, I think some of the ways that we have used it in Baltimore was the days that the schools were closed to reach out via social media around Baltimore Lunch. So there was a hashtag created, Baltimore Lunch. We reached out locally as well as nationally to use social media to organize churches who opened up to feed, to do lunch, breakfast, as well as dinner. So we see people using hashtags, organizing around hashtags to come together and pool resources.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Jamie Wooten, social entrepreneur and digital strategist based in Baltimore, and Reverend Todd Yeary, senior pastor of Douglas Memorial Community Church and adjunct professor in the College of Public Affairs at the University of Baltimore. Pastor Yeary, how do you think the new and younger audiences that Black Lives Matter has helped pull together, how are they connected to older institutions and groups?
Well, they tend not to be as connected to older institutions, which is one of their particular strengths. I appreciate what's going on in the moment because it takes us out of this dichotomous assumption that it has to be either or. Actually, the justice call of the day requires a both and. You need the anchor of the historic institutions that have an appreciation for what movements mean, what movements can accomplish, albeit in a different way. So my older congregation, they don't know much about hashtags, but they know a whole lot about marching. They know a whole lot about the justice call, and they can make themselves available in different ways. The 21st century generation of my children, my oldest children, 20 and 19, they communicate a little differently. Their method of protest is slightly different, but the message of justice is where we find some continuity. And so if we recognize that there are going to be multiple levels, multiple approaches to engage in the process, there's room in this kind of a struggle because it is literally life and death where everybody can participate in their own way. The key is, are all voices being heard?
Jamie, let me take that to you and let me ask you. I was so struck by what I've read that you've said about Ella Baker that I sort of summarized what I think your point is. But of course, here we have you and you should make it yourself. Do you find that faith groups working on racial justice have this model of decentralized decision making, the both and that Reverend Yeary just talked about?
No. I mean, I think Ella Baker was very critical of King as well, right? So she was critical of saying, you know, strong people don't need strong leaders. So she pushed for this more participatory model where all voices were being heard. And so I think that I know of a conference coming up at the end of the year around young millennial clergy who are activists. And I'm very curious of how young millennials within the structure of the church, which is of hierarchical structure, how they will begin to organize young millennials within this structure. I'm seeing some young millennials who have stepped out, created digital platforms, and are navigating these spaces quite well. And I think this is the church of the future. Dr. Fred Smith from Wesley Theological used to talk about pastors of the future will be great facilitators. And I think that this sort of decentralized model creates space for all voices to be heard. I think that this movement will shift the church to really grapple with all voices being heard, really being a part of the movement.
Reverend Yeary, how does that sound to you?
It sounds good that all voices need to be heard. I think here's where we have to wrestle with what are we producing as far as outcomes? Because in the deeper conversation around how we actually get policy change accomplished, that is actually in more of the face-to-face interactions where you're trying to push legislators to make some serious decisions about how they alter what has become the trend in social justice and law, right? So it's slightly different. So you galvanize people to create momentum, but then there has to be some conversation about how you get to legislation. And I don't think that piece has been particularly clear in terms of the organic movement, the decentralized movement, because when you look at the process of legislation and policy, as much as social media has changed, that structure, that process has not changed. And so the question becomes, even inside that movement, when there's outreach from within the structure to see who's going to have a conversation about what needs to be done specifically, how do we get to the legislation, that's not going to leave room for everybody to be heard. At some point, there's going to have to be a designee, albeit maybe not a quote-unquote leader, that's going to have to communicate what are the points we're asking for, what are the things that we're looking for. Because when you look at the structures in Annapolis and in other places, that's not decentralized. That's highly structured and in many cases very rigid. And so there's going to be this uncomfortable place of if there's going to be full participation in this process, who's going to do the speaking even in a decentralized framework?
We have just a minute left, Jamie Wooten, and I'd like you to address that. I was struck with NPR's report on the Cleveland convening that you participated in this weekend. They stressed the delight that so many of the people there felt in actually seeing physically the people they had been tweeting with. Mm-hmm. So is it important to hang on to the centralized, the physical, the old ways?
I think it's both. And I'm not suggesting that you throw them away. I mean, I think this is a new movement. I say that, you know, could the hashtag be leading us to this Ella Baker movement? And I'm saying that if it is, that the hashtag must have an ideological framework, right, so that we move away from what I call reactivism. So I agree with Pastor Yuri. Like at the end of the day, we do have to have policy. We do have to have spokespersons. And I think that ideological framework is part of what has to be developed, even around Black Lives Matter, to say, what is the agenda? What does it mean, Black Lives Matter? What does the hashtag mean? And begin to build movement under this hashtag or ideal, ideology being the glue that holds decentralized movements together.
What do you think happens next?
I think people continue to move. I think that young people are extremely excited, right? So they will continue to move under this decentralized banner. Twitter, social media has opened up opportunities for various voices. I think people will continue to build. They will continue to critique themselves. There's a lot of critique what's inside of the movement. So it's not one movement, right? There's a lot of ideologies, a lot of critique. And I think that people will continue to tweak this out as we march towards justice.
Well, I appreciate you both giving us at least some insight into this. It's obviously a lot more to think about. Thank you so much.
Good to be with you.
Thank you.
Jamie Wooten is a social entrepreneur and digital strategist, a fellow at Boston University School of Theology Social Justice Institute. Reverend Todd Yeary is a senior pastor of the Douglas Memorial Community Church and an adjunct professor in the College of Public Affairs at the University of Baltimore. We have more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on the show, another aspect of churches connecting to community in a changing world. Stay with us for that.